The scripture reading tonight is from the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 40. And I want to bring a message this evening, another in the series from the Lockdown Trio, Gleanings from the Lockdown Trio. This, of course, is the time of the year when the flowers appear, as it says in the Song of Solomon, and as you observe the growth that's all around us, you can find many wonderful gleanings to enrich the mind and encourage the soul. Those who observe the weather are telling us that this is the warmest spring on record. And with that heat, there comes forth the blossoming of the flowers and the growth of the grass. And those flowers contain spiritual lessons for us. They are referred to in this 40th chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah. We'll begin reading at verse 1. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, Cry. And he said, What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Amen. And we know the Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. This passage in Isaiah's prophecy finds the Lord's people in a time of great adversity. They were tossed to and fro with conflicts that had been caused by their sin. And in the second verse, we have reference made to their sin and their iniquity. They had received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. But now the prophet is sent with a message of consolation. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. And that comfort, that consolation, directs their attention to the promise of the coming deliverer, the one who will bring an end to their trouble, to their adversity, and the one who will bring pardon for their sin. It, of course, has particular application to the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that is evident in the reference to the one who is described as the messenger, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. It is a reference, of course, to John the Baptist and to his ministry as the forerunner of the Messiah. And the confirmation of that we find in Luke's Gospel, chapter 3. And in the verse number 2, we're told the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. The Gospel of Luke applies this prophecy in Isaiah, in particular to the ministry of John the Baptist. He was the forerunner. He was the messenger who was sent before the Lord to herald the coming of the Savior, to announce to the people that the Deliverer, the Messiah, was to appear shortly. And therefore, when we come to this chapter in Isaiah, it is directing us to the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our consolation is found in this great revelation of the incarnate God, God manifest in flesh, who has come as the Deliverer, as the Savior, as the Redeemer. But when we look at these words in Isaiah, we are informed that before that consolation comes, and before men and women can receive of that consolation, there must be a preparation. This was the message of John, prepare ye the way of the Lord. There must be a preparation in order to prepare that way for the display of the divine glory in Christ. There must be a preparatory work. There must be a withering of all the glory of man. And that's where the reference or the parallel with the grass and the flowers is brought in. Verse number 6, the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. This is what he was to cry. All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Do you see the order that is being followed? Do you see the connection here? The people are afflicted. There is consolation for them. That consolation is in Christ. But before they can receive it, there must be this preparation. And the preparation consists of the withering of the grass, as it's paralleled here, as it's illustrated in the grass. There must be a withering. In the eastern country, in Maytime, the sirocco wind blew over Israel, coming from the hot, dry desert region of Arabia. It was a pernicious wind. It blew for several days without intermission, and it filled the atmosphere with fine dust. It was oppressive. It sucked up the moisture, and the result was the flowers dried up and they withered. The grass withered away. And now the Lord is taking that illustration and he's applying a spiritual truth to the people. There's a number of conclusions that come to our attention in this passage of Scripture. The first is that there is nothing permanent in man. There is nothing abiding in man. Think of the parallel with the grass. And you can discover right the way throughout Scripture, you will discover this parallel is made. We don't have time to look up each reference, but in your own at your own leisure, look up these verses. Psalm 37, verse 2. Psalm 90, verse 5. Psalm 103, verse 15. Psalm 129, verse 6. In the prophecy of Isaiah itself, chapter 37 and verse 27, chapter 51 and verse 12, repeatedly, emphasis is made concerning the fact that the grass doesn't abide. It withers away. And that illustration or that characteristic is now taken and it is applied as an illustration to man. All flesh is as grass. In other words, there is nothing permanent. There is nothing abiding in man. It withers away. And if we are to find true consolation, true satisfaction, We will find it only in our Lord Jesus Christ, who is made known, who is revealed to us in the Word of God. The Word of our God shall stand forever. There's a contrast here with the withering grass, the flower fading away, and the Word of God abiding forever. The message of God's Word is this: the one who brings true consolation to the soul, the one who brings true satisfaction to the heart, is Jesus Christ. It cannot be found in man. It cannot be found in anything that pertains to man, because it withers away just like the grass. The reason why the hearts of men today are dissatisfied, the reason why the hearts of men today are full of discontentment, is because they are looking for that satisfaction in something that withers away. What a message there is here. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. And the message is, there's nothing permanent in man. Man is just like the grass. When you go out into the garden, when you walk along the country road and you look at the fields and you see all the flowers, they seem to have a beauty. But remember this, they don't last. They fade. They wither. And the Lord has, as it were, scattered the face of the earth with repeated reminders, repeated illustrations of what man is. The glory of man, the goodliness of man, it fades away. It's not permanent. It doesn't last. It doesn't abide. And therefore the heart can never be satisfied. The heart can never be fulfilled with anything that pertains to man. Our true consolation, our true fulfillment, our true satisfaction is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. The glory, the revelation of the glory of God in Jesus Christ. And it's only when He is the Alpha and the Omega to the soul. It is only when He is both the center and the circumference that we will find that true, lasting fulfillment, consolation, and satisfaction. There's nothing permanent in man. That's the message. But there's another conclusion in these words of the prophet. In order for man to receive Christ, to receive that consolation and satisfaction that is found in Christ, to truly prize Him and to truly estimate the value of Christ, the glory of Christ, then man's own glory must wither and it must die. In this chapter, in Isaiah chapter 40, the reference here in verse number 6 speaks of all flesh being grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The word goodliness is employed in our English translation. But if you turn over to Peter's epistle, 1 Peter chapter 1 and the verse 24, he quotes this passage from Isaiah. And he says in verse 24, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away." Notice how in the quotation in Peter's epistle, instead of the word goodliness, we have the word glory. It is simply expanding, enlarging, and explaining what is meant. The glory of man fadeth away, just like the grass, just like the flower of the field. And what the Spirit of God is now directing us to is this: that before man will receive Christ and truly prize Him and recognize the value of Christ, His own glory must wither away. This is the preparation. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. And that preparatory work requires man's glory to diminish, to die, to wither. His own supposed goodness, his own righteousness that he rests in, it must wither away. That's what plagues so many. Essentially, man is a self-righteous being. He thinks that he has in himself an inherent righteousness, an inherent goodness. That's why he doesn't receive Christ. That's why he doesn't see his need of the Saviour. It's why the message of the cross is repugnant to him. He is repelled by it because he doesn't think himself to be a sinner. He doesn't consider for one moment that it was his sin that nailed our Saviour to the cross. He's resting in his own righteousness. He perceives his own glory, and therefore he does not receive Christ. He does not see his need of the Saviour. He does not value the gospel of the grace of God. Men will only receive the Lord Jesus Christ when they no longer glory in themselves, when they no longer rest upon their own glory. What a parallel this is, and what a message it conveys to us. Christ is the true consolation. Christ is the one who brings true satisfaction to the soul. But men will only receive him when their own glory is caused to wither away. All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth. Because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it, surely the people is grass. There's nothing permanent in man, and yet he rests in himself. He glories in himself. He glories in his own righteousness. And it is that that keeps him from receiving Christ, seeing his need of Jesus Christ. That glory must diminish. That glory must wither. That glory must fade away and fall away. And that brings us to a third application that the prophet makes. Verse 7, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth. How? How does this happen? Because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. The Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. And of course, there is here the interchanging between the physical or the literal illustration and the spiritual explanation, the spiritual illustration, the spiritual exposition of what the prophet is saying. He's referring to the work of the Spirit. Just as the wind blows and it sucks up the moisture from the flower, from the grass, and they wither, they die. So that work of the Spirit is needed to cause the glory of man to wither and die before he comes to the place where he will cast himself upon Jesus Christ alone. Isn't it interesting in John chapter 3, when the Lord was speaking to Nicodemus about the great necessity of the new birth and how that new birth is the sovereign domain of the Spirit of God? He refers to that work of the Spirit and connects it with the wind. The wind bloweth where it listeth, verse 8 of John 3, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. The word Spirit in the Hebrew language is the Hebrew word is also translated as wind or as the breath. And the wind comes and it draws forth the moisture that that gives life to the beauty and the glory of the flower. Then it withers and dies. The Lord is saying that the Spirit of God in His sovereign operation, He works in such a way, in such a manner, upon the heart of man, that causes that glory that hitherto he rested in to wither and fade away, to die. And when that happens, it is an act of mercy. It is an act of grace. For it's only whenever the glory of man is withered that he's brought to the place where he begins to truly view, recognize, and prize the glory of Jesus Christ. It's absolutely necessary. It's a painful work, but it is preparatory to the sinner being brought in to the blessing of God's salvation, causing that sinner to see the glory of the Lord. Man's glory must die first. It must wither. It must fade. All that he glories in must be leveled. You've that reference there in verse 4. Every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall be made straight. The rough places plain. It's descriptive language that refers to the leveling of the hearts of men. All that man glories in being laid low, withering, being made as nothing, in order that the sinner will come to see that Jesus Christ is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. He is all and in all. This is the work of the Spirit. And only when that work is wrought within the heart is a sinner brought to find, to know, to experience the true consolation of the gospel, the grace of God in Jesus Christ. It's true in relation to the salvation of man, the work of the Spirit in preparation, bringing a sinner unto Christ. But it's also true in relation to the life of the believer and the life of the church. And sometimes, perhaps unknowingly, unwittingly, the church begins to glory in that which is temporal and transient and fleeting, that which is not permanent. And the Lord has to blow upon the church, just like the wind blows upon the flowers of the field, the grass, and causes it to wither, in order that the church is brought to the place where it realizes that its true and only consolation is in the revelation of the glory of Jesus Christ. Perhaps that's what the Lord is doing at the present time, when we consider the circumstances that have befallen our country and indeed across the world. But let's look at it in the context of our own country and how it has affected the church. We must stop and ask the question, is the Spirit of God blowing upon what we have gloried in apart from Christ? It is a painful experience, but it is a necessary experience, so that we will be brought to that place where we shall behold the glory of the Lord. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The desert speaks of the affliction that God's people were experiencing. There was a preparation that was needed in order to see, to behold the glory of God. And only then, would they experience the true consolation, the true comfort in the display of God's glory in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is calling His church at this present time to have done with all it has gloried in that is not permanent and not of the Lord, that we might see the glory of God, that we might see the revelation of His glory in Jesus Christ. All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. There's nothing permanent in man. Our true consolation is in Christ. And in order to receive that consolation in Christ, our glory, all that we glory in, must wither and die. And that is the work of the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. The Lord is working at this time in His church. He's blowing upon the glory of man, that it might wither and die, so that within His church the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. That's what we need to come back to. We have lost sight of the glory of God. We have allowed the church, which ought to be the habitation of God through the Spirit, we have allowed so many other things to come in which are not of God. Transient. They're just like the flower of the field. Yes, they have a beauty of a kind, but it doesn't last. The Lord is blowing upon it in order to prepare the way of the Lord, that we might see the glory of God revealed. May the Lord teach us these lessons, these great spiritual applications, and may our hearts be profited by the word of the Lord that liveth and abideth forever. Amen.